The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jackie Roble for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Nutrition News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Nutrition Action Health Letter. Quick studies. A snapshot of the latest research on diet, exercise, and more. Plants versus animal meats. Plant-based meats are processed foods, but they may still protect your heart. Researchers had 36 adults eat at least 2 servings a day of ordinary meats, like ground beef and sausage, for 8 weeks, and similar plant-based versions, supplied by Beyond Meat, which funded the study, for 8 weeks. LDL, or bad cholesterol, was about 11 points lower, weight was 2 pounds lower, and TMAO, trimethylamine N oxide, levels were about 40% lower when the participants ate the plant meats. TMAO, which is made by gut bacteria that dine on the carnitine in red meat, has been linked to a higher risk of heart disease. What to do? Swap meats for plant-based meats that have less saturated fat, like the study did, to help your heart and cut greenhouse gas emissions. Vitamin D and vertigo. Vitamin D may help prevent benign paroxysmal positional vertigo, or BPPV, which occurs when tiny crystals in the inner ear get dislodged. Researchers randomly assigned 1,050 people who had been treated for BPPV with a simple maneuver that moves the crystals back into place to either an intervention or an observation group. Of the 500 people in the intervention group, 348 had insufficient vitamin D levels under 20 milligrams or milliliters when they entered the study. When they were given vitamin D, 400 IUs, and calcium carbonate, 500 milligrams, twice a day. After a year, the full intervention group had 24% fewer episodes of vertigo than the observation group. The researchers calculated that 4 people with insufficient vitamin D would need to take vitamin D and calcium for a year to prevent 1 case of BPPV. What to do? If you've had BPPV, get your vitamin D tested to see if you need more. Do the Kegel. 1 out of 3 women aged 60 or older experience urinary leakage. Researchers randomly assigned 319 women to 12 weeks of either individual or group pelvic floor muscle training. After a year, weekly episodes of leakage fell by 70% among those who got individual training and by 74% in those attending group sessions. What to do? Do Kegel exercises to strengthen your pelvic floor. Go to pelvicfloorfirst.org.au to learn more. Peppers and Parkinson's? Smokers have lower rates of Parkinson's disease. That led researchers to wonder if the nicotine that occurs naturally in peppers could lower Parkinson's risk, even though peppers have far less nicotine than tobacco. The scientists tracked roughly 51,000 adults, none of whom had ever smoked, for 26 years. Women who ate peppers, any kind, at least 5 times a week had roughly half the risk of Parkinson's compared to women who ate them 3 times a month or less. The scientists saw no link between dietary nicotine and Parkinson's in men. What to do? It's far too early to know if peppers can protect the brain. In the meantime, enjoy them. Now a recipe from the healthy cook, Kate Sherwood. Peppery arugula, Belgian endive, and other punchy greens are right at home in this salad, which uses a tangy mustard dressing to balance out the sweet beets. It's a satisfying stunner. Beet salad with mustard vinaigrette serves 4. 1 tablespoon whole grain mustard, 1 small shallot thinly sliced, 1 tablespoon red wine vinegar, 2 tablespoons extra virgin olive oil, 1 teaspoon orange zest, 1/4 teaspoon kosher salt, 1 pound cooked red or yellow beets cut into wedges, 2 cups salad greens, 1/2 cup cooked wheat berries or farro. Make the dressing. In a medium bowl, whisk together the mustard, shallot, vinegar, oil, orange zest, and salt. Arrange the beets and salad greens on a platter or salad plates. Sprinkle with the wheat berries. Spoon the dressing over the salad. That's Nuts! How to Pick the Healthiest Nuts and Seeds by Lindsay Moyer and Camilla Mitchell. Nuts get a lot of attention, and they deserve it. Healthy fats, vitamins, minerals, a little plant protein, and talk about taste. The hard part? Stopping after a serving. Here's our guide to enjoying the best nuts and seeds. For one, help your heart. The good news, when you add most nuts to your diet, it helps reduce LDL cholesterol. That should lower your risk of heart disease. Your best bets are walnuts, pecans, almonds, peanuts, pistachios, hazelnuts, and most seeds, rather than macadamias, cashews, or Brazil nuts. Two, mix it up. While almonds are nutrient-rich, they're also heavily advertised. In fact, a cornucopia of nuts and seeds beat almonds for nutrients like calcium, sesame seeds, folate, peanuts, protein, pumpkin seeds, vitamin E, sunflower seeds, fiber, chia seeds, and magnesium, hemp seeds. So play the field. Three, keep track. Nuts pack plenty of calories into a tiny bundle. Or use a measuring cup, inexpensive kitchen scale, to guide out counting an ounce serving. Shelling your own nuts, like pistachios, may also slow you down. 4. Mind the sodium. It's easy. Salted nuts may have less sodium than you'd expect, since it's just sprinkled on top. But if you're watching every milligram, varieties that are unsalted or lightly salted abound. Tip: an ounce of some sunflower seed shells are dusted with a full's day's worth of sodium. Shell them in your hands, not in your mouth. Or buy them shelled. 5. Don't glaze over. Honorable mentions have more than 3 grams, about a half teaspoon of added sugars per ounce. That keeps you in honey roasted or cocoa dusted territory. Glazed nuts can hit 2 or more teaspoons. 6. Watch clusters, coatings, and snack or breakfast mixes. Some of them sully nuts' good name. Take Planner's line of breakfast blends. The cinnamon roll, for example, is anything but part of a balanced breakfast. It's sugary peanuts and almonds plus palm oil-coated yogurt, blueberries, and mini cookies. So each ounce delivers 3 teaspoons of added sugars, but only 3 grams of protein. 7. Handle with care. Thanks to all those unsaturated fats, nuts and seeds don't stay fresh forever. Freeze in a zipper bag or airtight container to extend their life. And to really bring out their flavor, toast them in the oven at 325 for 5 to 10 minutes. Just watch them closely. Nuts seem to go from untoasted to burnt in seconds. Counting calories. Kind nut bars have nearly 20% less calories, the company announced in January, yet the list of ingredients hadn't changed. The new numbers came from studies led by David Beer, supervisory research physiologist at the USDA Agricultural Research Service in Beltsville, Maryland. Those studies were partly funded by the nut industry. Beer's team measured how many calories people digested and absorbed from different nuts versus how many calories went out in their, waste. In 2 studies, whole almonds averaged 19 to 25% fewer calories than what's listed on most nutrition facts labels. That works out to be about 30 to 40 fewer calories per ounce. Why? Nuts aren't just hard to crack, they're also hard to chew. The more you chew, the more you're grinding up the plant cell walls and making the nutrients inside available for digestion, says Bear. That also explains why the calories in almond butter were no lower. In a sense, it's already been chewed for you. Bear got similar results for walnut pieces, 21% fewer calories, and cashews, 16%, though not pistachios, 5%. But those numbers are averages. Some volunteers, presumably champion chewers, absorbed no fewer calories. How well do you chew? Who knows? Does the same go for other plants like seeds or beans or corn? No one has looked. Bear is now testing lentils and chickpeas. But even slimmed down nuts are still high in calories per bite. Go nuts and seeds. Don't add nuts and seeds to your diet. use them to replace calories from less healthy foods. Lose the white flour croutons. Nuts like walnuts, pecans, and hazelnuts and seeds are crunchier and more flavorful anyway. Almondine, anyone? Instead of breading, try chopped or sliced toasted almonds or pecans on top of chicken, fish, or green beans. Do better than bars. Even the best dried fruit and nut bars, like some of Kind's, have about a teaspoon of added sugars. Why not pour an ounce of nuts and a few bites of dried fruit, try raisins, figs, or unsweetened mango, into a reusable container instead? Bye-bye bacon. Smoked almonds have more sodium than regular almonds, but they deliver the smoky flavor of bacon. Add them to salads, veggies, etc. Go beyond granola. Old take on parfait, sugary yogurt plus sugary granola. New take, plain yogurt plus toasted nuts and fruit. Swap sugary cereal. Add nuts and berries to sugar-free shredded wheat or oatmeal. Food find. Butter up. Want to mix up your salad? Lettuce help. Supermarkets are awash in baby kale, baby spinach, baby arugula, and other youngins. When you don't want the robust taste of darker greens, try a mellow baby butter lettuce blend. The butter babies are as sweet as the grown-ups. Like just about any greens, they offer fiber, vitamins A and K, and folate for next to no calories, just 20 or so in 2 cups. Fresh Express blends green butter lettuce with the iron-rich red variety, which gives it its sweet, crunchy salad a pop of flavor. Ditto for Organic Girl Butter Plus. Baby spinach fan? It's in butter blends like Fresh Express Tender Ruby Reds and Earthbound Farm Organic Spinach Plus Butter. Any of them would make a dynamite salad. And don't forget all full size of heads of butter lettuce, often called Boston or bib. Their perfectly sized round leaves are ideal for sandwiches or lettuce cups. For a satisfying crunch, try Little Gems. They're like personal heads of romaine. If you buy them at a farmer's market, there's no plastic packaging. Organic Girl sells Little Gem leaves year-round in supermarkets. The best of both worlds, says the website. Sweet like butter and crunchy like romaine. Talk about a sweet deal. Food fail. Breaking Bad. Chock full of thick, juicy cuts of smoked and pork sausages, our double sausage and bacon loaded tots mixes crispy bacon, golden tater tots, fluffy scrambled eggs, and decadent queso cheese sauce, says the box of Devour All Day Breakfast. So whether it's dawn or dusk, these tasty tots are tricked out with all the meats for whenever your breakfast craving hits. That's right, dawn, dusk, or any time in between, breakfast is waiting. Who needs fresh fruit, whole grains, nuts, or low-fat dairy when you can reach into the freezer for a tray of roughly 50 ingredients, including 2 cancer-causing processed meats, pasteurized processed cheese, cornstarch, disodium dihydroxin pyrophosphate, sodium acid sulfate, modified cornstarch, xanthan gum, corn syrup solids, sodium phosphates, and sodium nitrite? It's only a 9-ounce package, but Kraft Heinz manages to pack in 430 calories and more than a half day saturated fat, 12 grams, and sodium, 1,280 milligrams. Nice going. Want another meat and potatoes or white flour extravaganza? Try Devour's biscuits, bacon, and creamy sausage gravy, spicy chorizo queso hash, or steak and eggs with creamy gravy. All food should be mouthwatering, says the box. Period. End of story. Don't be so sure. Dish of the month. Pear and hazelnut salad. Whisk 1 tablespoon of white balsamic vinegar with 2 tablespoons low-fat sour cream, 2 tablespoons mayo, 1 tablespoon dill, 1 tablespoon chives, and 1/4 teaspoon kosher salt. Spoon over 8 cups lettuce, 1 sliced pear, and 1/4 cup hazelnuts. Serves 4. Salt wars. Why we need to eat less salt, but haven't. Nearly all experts agree that we should eat less salt, but opposition from the food industry and a handful of scientists has stalled efforts to cut the salt in the 2 biggest sources, packaged and restaurant foods. Michael Jacobson is the co-founder and former president of the Center for Science in the Public Interest, who publishes Nutrition Action. For 46 years after he earned a PhD from MIT, Jacobson led CSPI's efforts to improve the nation's diet. He spoke to Nutrition Action's Bonnie Liebman about his new book, Salt Wars, The Battle Over the Biggest Killer in the American Diet. The book from MIT Press will be in bookstores on October 20th. Why do you call salt the biggest killer in our diets? Michael Jacobson. Salt raises blood pressure, and high blood pressure or hypertension increases the risk of heart attacks and strokes, two major killers in our society. If you don't have hypertension now, odds are that someday you will. Roughly 80 to 90% of Americans eventually develop high blood pressure as they get older. The high salt diet that Americans are eating is responsible for an estimated 100,000 premature deaths every year and roughly $20 billion in healthcare costs. It's just an enormous health toll. Can't people just take drugs to lower their pressure? Drugs can be very effective in lowering blood pressure and the risk of heart attacks and strokes, but they're hardly the perfect answer. Many people stop taking the drugs over time because of the expense or because they don't feel any effect. And one drug may not work, so you have to take two or three, and even then they may not work. Drugs can also have side effects like disturbed sleep, headache, muscle cramps, an increased need to urinate, and erectile dysfunction. So why not just try to keep your blood pressure low so you can avoid the side effects and the costs in visits to the doctor? How much salt do we eat? The average woman consumes about 3,000 milligrams a day, and the average man about 4,000 milligrams a day, mostly because men eat more food. Only about 2% of men and 20% of women consume less than the recommended 2,300 milligrams per day. And the salt shaker isn't the key culprit? No. We get only 5% of our salt from the shaker, and another 5% or so from the salt we add when we cook at home. And about 15% occurs naturally in foods. Roughly 70% comes from the salt and other food additives like monosodium glutamate that are added to processed and restaurant foods. Which foods are the biggest culprits? Salt is everywhere. It's in processed meats like bacon and cold cuts, frozen dinners, soups, pizzas, sandwiches. Breads and rolls supply more sodium than any other food category, in part because we often eat them so much, but they supply only 6% of the salt we eat. The foods that are highest in salt are restaurant meals. Some contain two or even three times as much sodium as somebody should eat in an entire day. So it's not just salty tasting foods. Right. Nobody thinks bread tastes salty, but at Panera, the piece of baguette that comes on the side has nearly six times as much sodium as the chips. So you can't go by taste. You have to read labels. And restaurant foods don't come with sodium labels, though many chain restaurants post the numbers online. New York City and Philadelphia are now requiring menus at chain restaurants to put warnings next to items that contain an entire day worth of sodium or more. So what should people do? You can eat a healthy diet with lots of fresh fruits and vegetables, beans, nuts, low-fat yogurt or milk, fish and poultry, rather than processed foods. That will not only lower your sodium intake, but also boost your potassium intake. Potassium has long been known to lower blood pressure in people with hypertension, so replacing sodium with potassium could be a win-win. When cooking, I routinely use a little salt, which is I routinely use a light salt, which is half sodium chloride and half potassium chloride. Just check with your doctor before you use potassium salts if you have kidney disease or heart failure, or if you take drugs like ACE inhibitors, angiotensin II receptor blockers, or potassium-sparing diuretics. So what do you mean by salt wars? One war is the battle over the scientific evidence. The other is over what the government and industry should do about salt. Isn't the science settled by now? It's settled to most scientists and to health authorities like the National Academy of Medicine, the World Health Organization, and the American Heart Association. They recommend that we consume about a third less sodium. But a few vocal scientists argued that consuming less salt would be dangerous. What do they contend? Their studies find a higher risk of heart attacks and strokes not only in people who consume excess sodium, but also in those who consume below average levels. On the surface, some of those studies appear persuasive. For example, the Pure study looked at 100,000 people worldwide. But the studies are misleading. As in any observational study, which simply measures an exposure like sodium and then sees what happens to people over time, something else about the participants may explain their higher risk of disease. For example, some people who consume less sodium may be eating less food because they're ill or because they don't have enough food. And illness or poverty could explain their higher risk? Right. But the most serious flaw is that those studies don't accurately measure how much sodium people typically consume. The only reliable way to estimate someone's long-term sodium intake is to have them collect all of their urine for 24 hours on several days. But the Pure researchers estimated each participant's sodium intake with only one spot urine collection, meaning each person just urinated into a container just once at the beginning of the study. Then the researchers used a mathematical formula to estimate 24-hour sodium takes. And that's inaccurate? Yes. When a different team of scientists measured sodium with repeated 24-hour urine collections, they found that people who consumed the least sodium had no higher risk of dying over the next 24 years. But when the scientists used Pure's formula to estimate the long-term sodium intakes of the same people, sure enough, they found a higher risk in people who, according to the formula, consume the least sodium. That's really good evidence that Pure and similar studies were fatally flawed. When a National Academy of Medicine panel looked at those studies in 2019, it concluded that they were unreliable. Those studies got huge headlines. Journalists love man-bites-dog stories. We also saw that about 10 years ago when newspaper headlines declared that low-salt diets might be dangerous. That was largely based on Italian studies on patients with severe congestive heart failure. Those who were put on a low-sodium, fluid-restricted diet were more likely to die, but they also got high doses of a powerful diuretic, an unwise treatment. Most media didn't mention that. No, the American Heart Association said that the results in such a sick and highly medicated group had no relevance for people, or even for most patients with heart failure. To put the nail in the coffin, a few years later, a meta-analysis of the Italian studies was retracted. When the journal asked the researchers to supply the raw data from some of the studies, they said that it had been lost in a computer failure. It was essentially a dog-ate-my-homework excuse or an inexcusable failure to properly store data. Still, those headlines get so much attention that they set back the cause of reducing sodium for years. Any chance that the science war will end? In 2019, the National Academy of Medicine may have put the matter to rest. An expert panel combined the results of several randomized controlled trials on sodium and cardiovascular disease, and the experts found a lower risk in people who ate less sodium. What about the second salt war? The processed food and restaurant industries have fought for decades to continue using as much salt as always, just as industry fought for years to keep using trans fat until it was banned. And the government? In response to four decades of countless preventable deaths and government inaction, in 2010, a report by the Institute of Medicine, which is now the National Academy of Medicine, urged the Food and Drug Administration to set mandatory limits on the sodium content of different food categories, potato chips, canned soup, pizza, and so on, and to gradually lower those limits over time. So in 2016, the FDA proposed sodium targets for both packaged and restaurant foods, though they were only voluntary. Did the industry object? At first, the Grocery Manufacturers Association, which was the most influential food industry trade group, said yes, it could be useful for Americans to low sodium, but then came up with 100 reasons why sodium should not be lowered. The Salt Institute, the association of manufacturers like Morton Salt, just urged the FDA to abandon the targets. And now? In the last few years, several major companies like Unilever, Nestle, and Mars have declared their support for the FDA's voluntary targets. The Grocery Manufacturers Association lost several major food companies and morphed into the Consumer Brands Association, and thankfully, the Salt Institute has gone out of business, so the political landscape has changed dramatically. However, here we are 4 years later, and the FDA has not done a darn thing to finalize the targets. How do we know that the companies cut sodium? Can-cut sodium. If you compare different brands of almost any food, salad dressings, breads, packaged meats, pasta sauce, you'll find wide disparities in sodium content. That proves that many companies could lower the sodium levels to match the best performers in each category. Also, some foods sold at McDonald's, Burger King, and other chain restaurants in other countries have less salt in the same foods sold here. Why? Many countries have made more progress than we have. The United Kingdom led the way. About 15 years ago, it set voluntary sodium targets, pressured food manufacturers to lower sodium, and mounted a campaign urging people to eat less salt. After 5 years, sodium intakes fell by around 10%, which is about a quarter of the program's goal. But when there was a change in government, progress came to a halt. Are there other approaches? Yes. Chile, Israel, Uruguay, and other countries have been very effective with food labeling. Similar symbols highlight foods high in saturated fat or sugar. A food could have two or three warning symbols. After a couple of years, Chile lowered its threshold for a sodium symbol and then dropped the threshold even further. That's what we need to do here. After 40 years of fighting in salt wars, where do we stand? If we go back 40 years when you and I wrote a petition asking the FDA to require food labels to disclose sodium, we had support from many scientists and expert communities that said the Americans should eat less sodium. But since then, increasingly sophisticated research has demonstrated beyond a shadow of a doubt that we would benefit tremendously by eating low-sodium diets. Yet the progress has been slow? Yes. Despite the plethora of petitions, lawsuits, books, TV interviews, and meetings, the government and the food industry have failed to act. Americans are still consuming roughly 50% more sodium than experts recommend and are suffering the consequences. The industry war is essentially a stalemate. Salt savings. You'd never know that some foods have less sodium without checking the nutrition facts label. One clue? Foods labeled healthy often have less. Even restaurant foods in our lower column are lower with sodium. For example, Arnold Organic 100% Whole Grain Bread has 200 milligrams of sodium, but the Pepperidge Farm 100% Whole Wheat Bread has 120 milligrams. Lean Cuisine Unwrapped Chicken Burrito Bowl, 620 milligrams. Healthy Choice Unwrapped Burrito Bowl, 350 milligrams. And a Panera Heritage Ham and Swiss Sandwich, 1,390 milligrams sodium. Panera Napa Almond Chicken Salad Sandwich, just 750 milligrams. We've run out of time for today's episode of Nutrition News. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jackie Roble, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Nutrition News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Here's to your health.